live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the government is being asked to request a full impact assessment of the Mercosur deal on the beef sector, with an emphasis on the potential impact of various Brexit scenarios. Two Donegal TDs were denied the full amount of one of their annual allowances last year because of the poor attendance record at Leinster House. Police in Derry are continuing to search for missing man Sean Kelpie, who was last seen in the city in the early hours of this morning. And a Letterkenny area councillor has refuted claims that all but one councillor financially supported this year's Lennon Festival. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Taoiseach says EU leaders would be very reluctant to grant another Brexit extension to the UK. It comes as the government is again stepping up preparations for a no-deal scenario. Taoiseach Simon Coveney will bring three memos to Cabinet tomorrow, updating ministers on planning for a crash-out Brexit. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says it's a real possibility as EU leaders don't want another delay.
I think there would be a great deal of reluctance among European Prime Ministers to grant another extension beyond October 31st. We certainly wouldn't rule it out. From Ireland's point of view, we'd be as facilitative to the UK as is possible.
Meanwhile, a Donegal deputy claims the government has let the Irish beef sector down by the Mercosur deal. Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson, Deputy Charlie McConlogue, is calling for a full impact assessment of the deal on the beef sector, with an emphasis on the potential impact of various Brexit scenarios. He says the last assessment took place 3 years ago before the Brexit referendum was passed. Deputy McConlogue believes the deal will have significant implications for the beef sector, particularly in rural areas.
Back then, it showed that future trade deals could lead to a €5 billion hit on the EU beef trade and up to a 16% drop in prices. We haven't seen any updated impact assessment since then, and it would appear in relation to the Mercosur trade agreement that the EU have horse-traded in relation to beef. The difficulty from an Irish point of view in relation to that is that Ireland is the largest beef exporter in Europe. We're actually the fifth largest beef exporter in the world. So any significant loss to the beef sector has a massively disproportionate impact on Ireland, but particularly massive impact in relation to our beef and our agricultural sector and, of course, rural areas as a result of that.
The impact on the beef sector in Ireland is a relatively small area of the overall Mercosur deal. So even if an assessment would, as you would expect, find that Mercosur will be very detrimental to the Irish beef industry, is the EU Commission going to make fundamental changes to Mercosur as a whole in order to actually address one very, very small part of the overall picture in their eyes?
Well, that's what the Irish government needs to be trying to achieve. I think we've let the beef sector down by allowing this deal through, and the best approach would have been not to actually have the 100,000 tonne as part of the actual deal. And I think particularly whenever we had an Irish EU agriculture commissioner, that our own government should have been working closely with him to ensure that it didn't get through the gap in the first place. Now they're dealing with a much more difficult scenario where it has been agreed at political level, and it's as such they have let the horse bolt from the stable.
A medical expert says hospitals with high mortality rates should ask themselves why. It's after a report from the Department of Health found that a patient's chance of dying after a heart or stroke can vary depending on the hospital. Bantry General in Cork has the highest death rate in the country for people who've had a heart attack, while St Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny had the lowest. On average, around 5 in every 100 heart attack victims don't survive, with Letterkenny University Hospital slightly above the national average at 5.8. Professor Anthony Staines from DCU Department of Nursing and Human Sciences says that people should always strive to do better in healthcare.
So I look, for example, at Cork University Hospital, which has had relatively high death rates and stroke in this report. People in Cork University Hospital should sit down and say, well, is there a reason for this? Our death rate does seem to be higher. And you can ask yourself those questions and really try and do better, because you're always trying to do better in healthcare.
Police in Derry are continuing to search for missing man Sean Kelpie, who was last seen in the city in the early hours of this morning. The 35-year-old is described as being 5'10" in height, with dark hair and of a slim build. Sean was last seen at around 1:40 a.m. this morning in the Sperrin Park area of Derry, wearing a PSG football tracksuit. Anyone with information as to the whereabouts of Sean is asked to contact police on 101. Two Donegal TDs were denied the full amount of one of their annual allowances last year because of the poor attendance record at Leinster House. In total, there were 8 members of the Oireachtas, 6 TDs and 2 senators denied their full annual allowance. Catherine Gaffney has more.
An analysis of expenses paid out in 2018 by the Houses of the Oireachtas reveals that both Donegal deputies Pierce Doherty and Thomas Pringle were paid less than the standard travel and accommodation allowance for not attending the Dáil for the required minimum of 120 days. The Houses of the Oireachtas said refunds totalling just over €9,737 were repaid by the 8 members who did not achieve their full recorded attendance. The TAA is based on the distance travelled from their normal residence by Oireachtas members to Leinster House, and ranges from €9,000 to members based in Dublin, up to €34,065 for those in Band 12 who live more than 360 kilometres away. Members must repay 1% of the allowance for each day less than the required number attended, while TDs and senators can also voluntarily choose not to accept the full allowance.
A Letterkenny area councillor has refuted claims that all but one councillor financially supported the Lennon Festival. Last week, festival chairperson Anthony McCahill expressed his disappointment to Highland Radio that only one councillor had supported the event's 50th anniversary. However, Councillor McBride says after he was approached by a committee member, he allocated €250 towards the festival. He says Donegal County Council hasn't yet notified all groups due to the large volume of allocations prior to the election. Gardaí in Cork are continuing to question a woman in her 30s in connection with the death of a 2-year-old girl. She was arrested earlier today. Sharon Lynch reports.
Gardaí at Anglesey Street investigating the murder of toddler Santina Cawley have arrested a woman in her 30s. She's currently being held at Grána Brothar Garda Station. The 2-year-old died after she was discovered in a critical condition in an apartment at the Elderwood complex on the Boreen Manor Road just before 5:30 a.m. on Friday. A murder investigation was launched following the results of a post-mortem examination. Anyone with information can contact Gardaí at Anglesey Street on 021 452 2000 or the Garda confidential line on 1800 666 111.
A leading charity has confirmed plans to extend support services for older people in Donegal. Alone works to fill in the gaps of state supports and provide a consistency of essential services across the country. With more than 15,800 people over 65 living in Donegal, more than 6,500 of those live alone. The charity officially launched their Donegal services today, which include merging with existing service provider Good Morning Donegal. Communications Officer Gráinne Loughran says it's hoped that expanding ground level supports will help to make a positive impact on the lives in the county.
We're delighted to be here in Donegal today to launch Alone Services throughout the county. We're going to be joined by Daniel O'Donnell and a whole range of exciting guests today. But Alone is a national charity and we support older people to age at home. And we're merging with existing service, Good Morning Donegal, in order to expand and ensure sustainability for these services for older people throughout the county.
In terms of the Donegal figures, well over 6,000 people in Donegal over the age of 65, they do live alone. Very important to avail of the service if needed.
Exactly. So, like you say, more than 6,000 older people live alone throughout Donegal. And many occasions, the older people might be living in quite isolated areas and rural locations, etc. And they find themselves feeling quite isolated or quite lonely. So it's really important that services like this exist in order to support older people to feel less lonely and to feel connected within their communities. So Alone provide befriending and support, visitation and telephone services. So where a volunteer might visit or give you a telephone call once a week just for a chat and for some support in order to alleviate those feelings of loneliness.
Meanwhile, Daniel O'Donnell says volunteers have a vital role to play in helping older people lead independent lives. He was speaking as Alone announced an expansion of its services in County Donegal. He says his late mother was deeply grateful for the support of the group.
My mother, before she passed away, availed of it. It's just, on her case, it was a phone call from some of the volunteers, you know, on a regular basis. And my mother wasn't alone by any manner or means, but still enjoyed that interaction with somebody from the community.
There are further claims that the insurance industry is exaggerating claims in an effort to justify insurance premiums. In the case of Allianz, Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty found that just 1% of all claims made to the insurance company were reported as fraudulent, despite the CEO previously stating that 20% of all claims made were suspected to be fraud. Speaking from the recent Finance Committee, Deputy Doherty says that while there are issues in terms of fraudulent and exaggerated claims, they are not at the scale that the industry is suggesting.
A fraction of a percent is the suspected fraudulent claims within your sector, within your insurance company. Would that be correct?
I suppose that we think there's sufficient proof that it can go to the Gardaí, and there are a lot of claims where we expect, where we, I mentioned to you earlier, about 4% of our claims cost we identify as fraudulent. So it's not the biggest issue by any means. I don't think we're portraying it as the biggest issue. But only a small number are referred to Gardaí where we think there's a realistic potential of being proven and prosecuted.
Should you not, if you believe that a claim is fraudulent, should you not report to the Gardaí regardless? Like, you've carried out your own internal investigation, you believe that the claim's fraudulent, you're willing to come here before this committee and suggest figures of potential fraudulent claims, but when we actually drill down to out of 5,000 claims per annum, you're only reporting 8.
We'll take that point.
Okay. Because this is the issue here. We've listened to quite a while in relation to this issue, and I know that there's issues in terms of fraudulent claims. I know that there's issues in terms of exaggerated claims, but not at the scale that users are suggesting. And the last 10 minutes have just proven that.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 14 minutes past 5 and time's latest in sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer, and UCD have signed Jack Keeney from Sligo Rovers. The 20-year-old midfielder, has joined the students on a scholarship programme. The Donegal native played 54 times since graduating from the underage teams, scoring 6 goals. The draw for the first round of the FAI Cup will take place at 7 p.m. this evening at Aviva Stadium. Finn Harps and Derry City will be joined by both Glengad United and Letterkenny Rovers in the hat. Glengad reached the first round proper with victory over Home Farm back in April. The Inishowen side needed penalties to dispose of the Dublin side at the Crua. Letterkenny Rovers got a bye into the first round. The FAI has invited nominations for the new president and a vice president of the association. As part of the new proposals from the government's review group, the two positions will be elected at the annual general meeting rather than at a special council meeting. The new president and vice president will serve on the interim board for 12 months. Both roles will be elected at the AGM on July 27th, but only if the terms of the governance review group report are passed at the EGM on July 20th. After a flurry of comments on social media regarding season ticket holders and admission policies for Super 8 games, Donegal GAA have clarified the entitlements of season ticket holders. The ticket allowed for admission to Donegal's 7 Allianz League matches and to the Division 2 Allianz League final in Croke Park. It also includes admission to the Club All-Ireland finals in Croke Park on St Patrick's Day. Holders were entitled to the stand for Donegal's first championship match, which was at Brewster Park, and a €5 discount off the cover price of subsequent championship, qualifier and Super 8 games, but does not guarantee a seat in the stand for those games. The holder can also purchase a ticket for the All-Ireland final if Donegal was involved, provided that they had attended 60% or more of Donegal's Allianz League games. Donegal will start their Super 8 series this Sunday against Meath in a Bally Buffet. Mayo and Kerry are also in Donegal's group. Donegal's final game against Mayo in Castlebar could be a winner-takes-all to make the semi-final. Mayo will start this Sunday in Killarney. Here's Martin McHugh's take on the Connacht side.
You know, the only one thing I think they lack is a bit of pace from maybe midfield up. They have a lot of good ball winners and a lot of quality, you know, in that way. But I think they lack the pace that maybe other teams have now. That's why it's important for them to get Lee Keegan on the field. And they probably have a call to make with Keegan. Do they put him back to mark David Clifford? Or will they go with one of the players, you know, in their full back line to do that, Harrison or that, and say we want Lee Keegan pushing forward? You know, because they're going to need that pace from midfield up particularly. They have a lot of good ball winners, a lot of good players, but I think they lack a bit of pace. But in saying that, they're very physically strong. I thought they just bullied Galway early on, came out of the blocks. I know Galway made a mistake for the first goal, but the second goal, you know, sheer physical power got them through. And they're a big, strong team. They'll have Lee Keegan back the next day. They'll have Rowan, the midfielder. They feel is getting close to getting back there. They have Killian O'Connor on the field. They think Jeremy O'Connor's not that far away from being back as well. And they're probably resting Andy Moran to take him in at a stage. And their big game will be down in Killarney next week. That'll tell us a lot about both Kerry and Mayo. Look at Kerry when they played the league game down in Kerry against Dublin. They went fairly defensive. They played Tyrone down there in a league match this year, wasn't it? End up 14-7 somewhere. They were very defensive. So I think they're capable of changing their style of football. They were using that to get it ready. I feel maybe that's the way it is. I still think that it'll be Kerry and hopefully Donegal that'll come out of that group.
The Donegal Motor Club have postponed the Donegal Mini Stages Rally that was planned for Saturday the 10th of August 2019. This decision was reached as a mark of respect to Manus Kelly's family, friends and the many people deeply saddened by the recent tragedy. It is hoped to have the event rescheduled for a date early in 2020. In tennis, the remarkable run of 15-year-old Coco Gauff at Wimbledon has come to an end. She lost in the fourth round in straight sets to 7th seed Simona Halep. The Romanian will face China's Zhang Shuai in tomorrow's quarter-finals. However, the number 1 and 3 seeds have both been beaten today. Top seed Ashley Barty lost in 3 sets to Alison Risk. And Risk's reward is a quarter-final meeting with Serena Williams, who beat Carla Suarez Navarro for the loss of just 4 games. Despite the scoreline, Williams says she had to push for victory today.
Every match is still super hard. Like even today, I won a lot of points. It wasn't like your average 6-2, 6-2 scores. It wasn't too many 40 love games at all, actually. So it was, I think everyone is also getting better. And as the tournament goes on, that's when the better players are surviving.
Third seed Karolina Pliskova lost 13-11 in the deciding set of her match to fellow Czech Karolina Muchova. Currently on centre court, two-time champion Petra Kvitova and Jo Konta are tied at a set apiece. Men's top seed and defending champion Novak Djokovic has won the first set of his fourth round match with Hugo Humbert. David Goffin awaits the winner in the last 8. Third seed Rafa Nadal will face Sam Querrey in the quarterfinals following a straight sets win over João Sousa. The last match on centre court will see Roger Federer take on 17th seed Matteo Berrettini. In cricket, Ireland have named their 14-man squad that will travel to England next week to play a 2-day warm-up match and then the historic first test between Ireland and England at Lord's Cricket Ground. Craig Young, Stuart Thompson, Boyd Rankin, Andy McBrien and William Porterfield, who have all played North West cricket, have been included in that squad. And finally, in cycling, Julian Alaphilippe is the new leader of the Tour de France following victory on Stage 3 into Epernay. He's become the first French wearer of the yellow jersey since 2014. Nicholas Roach and Dan Martin both finished within the peloton and are 19th and 38th respectively on general classification. That's all your sports news here on Highland Today. Your next sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning, but for now it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ, and we're turning to some news. Climate change protesters have glued themselves to the doors of a government building in Dublin. 5 activists from the Extinction Rebellion group have used superglue to form a chain blocking the door of the Department of Communications and Climate Action on Adelaide Road. It comes as People Before Profits' Breed Smith said yesterday she's bringing a legal challenge over the government's move to block her climate emergency bill. Environment Minister Richard Bruton insists the ban on extracting oil and gas wouldn't cut carbon emissions. Paul McCormick Cooney from Watkins Town in Dublin is one of those taking part in the protest and says he felt he had to take direct action.
It probably sounds pretty mad. If you'd asked me this time last year or said to me that I'd be doing this time this year, I would have said you were mad. But then the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is the UN's chief body on climate science. They came out with their kind of shocking report that we had 12 years to try and avert a global catastrophe.
Police in Strabane are investigating a hit and run involving a Jeep stolen last week in the Castlefin area. It's reported the Jeep, a burgundy-coloured Suzuki, collided with another motorist on the Barnhill Road in Strabane on Monday last. The Jeep, which was reported stolen in Castlefin, has since been recovered after being abandoned after the collision. Police say the occupants subsequently made off on foot. Anyone who witnessed the incident or may have dashcam footage or can assist police with inquiries is asked to come forward. The Donegal Education and Training Board has made six senior appointments to its team of principals and deputy principals in four of its post-primary schools. Donegal ETB is the largest education and training provider in the county and manages 15 out of the county's 27 post-primary schools. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In Carrick, two appointments have been made to Coloshtha na Carriga, with Sean McSwivna appointed as principal and Caroline Igalachor appointed as deputy principal. In Coloshtha Alley in Letterkenny, Rose McLaughlin has been appointed deputy principal. Coloshtha Alley is an all-Irish medium school, while Coloshtha na Carriga has committed to providing education through Irish on a phased basis. In Milford, Sean McFadden has been appointed deputy principal in Mulroy College, while in Donegal ETB's largest school, the Abbey Vocational School, in Donegal Town, two new deputy principals have been appointed, Clive Monaghan and Michael Layden. The new appointees take up their positions on resumption of the school year. In the previous academic year, 2018-2019, over 5,000 students attended Donegal ETB post-primary schools.
And finally, getting the flu vaccine needs to be made easier for healthcare workers, according to a medical consultant. It comes after a report from the Department of Health found that just 39% of healthcare workers got the job for the 2018-2019 season. That's just below the HSE's target rate of 40%, but down significantly from the 44% average uptake the year before. Consultant in emergency medicine Dr. Chris Luke says many workers have to take time out of their busy jobs to get vaccinated.
One of the reasons for vaccine hesitancy amongst healthcare staff is that often they're so busy and stretched is that they put it on the long finger. So I would say to people who are trying to pursue the greater vaccination rates, come to the place where the staff are working. Make it much, much easier, and don't make it mean you know, an hour or so out of their time or having to travel distances from the trenches.
For weather now, cloudy this evening with rain, drizzle or mist in places. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with outbreaks of light rain or drizzle, mild and humid with lowest temperatures of 12 to 14 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Donegal deputy claims the government has let the Irish beef sector down by the Mercosur deal. Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson, Deputy Charlie McConnogh, is calling for a full impact assessment of the deal on the beef sector, with an emphasis on the potential impact of various Brexit scenarios. Police in Derry are continuing to search for missing man Sean Kelpie, who was last seen in the city in the early hours of this morning. The 35-year-old was last seen at around 1:40 a.m. this morning in the Sperrin Park area of Derry wearing a PSG football tracksuit. Two Donegal TDs were denied the full amount of one of their annual allowances last year because of the poor attendance record at Leinster House. In total, there were eight members of the Oireachtas, six TDs and two senators denied their full annual allowance. And there are further claims that the insurance industry is exaggerating claims in an effort to justify insurance premiums. In the case of Allianz, Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty found that just 1% of all claims made to the insurance company were reported as fraudulent, despite the CEO previously stating that 20% of all claims made were suspected to be fraud. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 8th of July. The death has taken place of John McBride, The Rock Ballymagan Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11:45 for Mass at 12:30 in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Buncrana Nursing Unit or the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of the Very Reverend Joe O'Donnell, parish priest, Ballantra. His remains are reposing at St Bridget's Church, Ballantra, with rosary this evening at 9 o'clock. Memorial Mass there tomorrow morning at 11. His remains will then leave to repose at St Judan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon until rosary at 10 p.m. Funeral Mass in the Cathedral on Wednesday at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has taken place of Bridie McLaughlin, Lizone, Lachine, St Mary's Road, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:30 to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Cock Hill Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Patients Comfort Fund, Buncrana Nursing Unit, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Joe O'Donnell, Lone Head, Edinburgh, Midlothian, Scotland, and formerly of Carrick Finn, County Donegal. Cremation took place last week in Scotland. Mass will take place tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Star of the Sea Chapel, Annagree. Family flowers only, please.